go ahead. Jeremiah chapter 5, starting from verse 1.
Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it.
Can you imagine? Here is saying, go on the broad streets where the multitudes of people are walking. If you go to Bombay City and stay at the railway station in the morning, you will see hundreds and thousands of people walking on that street. So he says, he's not saying go in a small street or narrow street. Go to the broad way and find at least one person. Now the broad way may be hundreds and thousands of people walking, but says, look on those people. If there is a one person, if there is a one person knows the judgment on righteousness of God, if there is a one person walking in truth, just find one person. And if you find that one person, I will forgive all of them. You remember Abraham said, if there is, you know, he started from 50 and came up to 10. God said, if there are 10 people, I will not destroy the city. But they were not even 10. Now here God is saying, in the time of Abraham, he could not find 10. But let me tell you, if you find one. But there was not a single person was seeking for God. If you read in a book of Romans chapter 3 or the Psalm chapter 14, it says there was none righteous. Not a single one searching for God. And that's why Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. So Jeremiah is saying, the word of God is saying, go and see one person on the broad way. The millions of people walking and busy going back and forth. I want to see one person. Then I'll forgive. Then I'll pardon. Not a single one person. Verse 2.
And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return.
What he's trying to say, there are people are there, look like a good people, look like a religious people. Some of the people take their Bible to church, look like a Christian, born again Christian, but they are not. They are falsely thinking they are doing right thing. But the word of God says God knows your heart. You cannot fool God with a three-piece suit and a Bible in your hand. Do you know there was a one man, there was a Bible, and he was keeping marijuana and drug in the Bible, thinking he is a minister, so nobody will check on him. But there are dogs. They can smell your marijuana, they can smell your drug. And even you are thinking that people will look at my dress and dress code and they will say, this is a good man. Here he's saying they are falsely thinking, oh, I worship the Lord, I go to church, and I'm a good person. But their life is not right. And then God says, you know, when their life was not right, the trouble came, the trial came, the persecution came, God even tried to consume them, did everything. But their heart, not even heart, their faces like a stone. Means, if you're happy, you can see on your face. If you're sad, you can see on your face. But these people, their emotion also is like a stone. You cannot see these people are happy or joyful because God says, I took all kinds of problem. But people, when the problem comes, instead of looking at why problem came, they curse God. The hurricane came. The rain came. The fire came. Why? Where are you, God? And why are you doing this? But they are not looking at their problems. He said their faces became like a stone. Their heart is stone. If you remember last week, we learned, circumcise your heart. Wash your heart. Today he's saying your face become like a rock and you refuse to return. You don't want to come back to me. You're walking away. I send a man to see if there is someone. And there is a word says, if there is someone to stand in the gap, he could not find one. That means there was not a single man can save the mankind or save the world. Only Jesus Christ. Jesus alone is able to save the whole world. Not a single man. The man can shed their blood, but their blood is contaminated. No one can be saved with their blood. There are some in other countries, they do sacrifice of their children, they sacrifice of people, but their blood is not good enough to save mankind. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world. Okay, verse 4.
Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God.
Now when you read this word, it's a little bit confusing. Just read and see what the word of God is saying here. Here is saying, surely there are, and they are foolish. Now somebody is saying, these poor people are some foolish people or something. And then he says, they don't know the way of the Lord, they don't know the righteousness of God, they don't know the justice of God, and they don't know anything about godly thing. They are poor and foolish. How come these people became poor and foolish? Now in America, everybody is educated. But this is talking about 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. So what's happening there? In those days, highly educated people are Pharisees, Sadducees, priests. And those are the people, they knew the word of God and the Bible. 100 years ago, the Catholic people were not allowing you to read the Bible. And so, knowledge they had, only highly educated people or the people who has the money. The Bible was very expensive in those days. Now you can get a Bible for a dollar. You go to a dollar store, you can get a Bible for a dollar. But here is saying they are poor and they are foolish. Why they are poor and foolish? Because when they don't have good education, they don't have good understanding. And when they now have good understanding, then they look like a foolish. They might be good people, smart people, but they don't have the knowledge of the Word of God. Nobody's teaching them. Nobody's telling them about God. So they became like a foolish people. So he said, now I look for those poor people. I look for those people, but they are foolish. They don't know anything about God. Let me turn to some good and very knowledgeable people. Let's read the verse 5.
I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds.
Now he says, let's go and find out the great people. But the great people, he says, when you go and see them, they don't know the knowledge of God. They don't know the wisdom of God. They have already forsaken the way of God. Means some people do not know, and some people knowingly do not know the truth. Means they are hiding the truth, or they don't want to know the truth. There are some people say, oh no, God, how the God is going to judge people? So many people didn't hear the word of God. Maybe in Africa, maybe in India's jungle or somewhere. And how God is going to put them in hell? The word of God says God is much wiser than what you think. God has given you the conscience, good and bad. Adam knew, and after he committed sin, then also he had the knowledge of good and evil. So you know what is good and what is evil. In a jungle of Africa or somewhere, they know who is their mother, who is their father, who is their daughter, and who is their son. And if they start doing wrong thing or doing something, killing somebody or something like that, their heart will condemn them in the time of judgment. And so, the God says you can see the God's presence through the nature. So they know there is a God. And so here the word of God is saying some people are poor and foolish, but let me turn to the rich, understanding, highly educated. But the highly educated people, they don't know the Lord. They are falsely they are going after somebody and they do not want to know. There are so many people, they go to Bible college. Not 1 year, 12 years. 12 years of Bible school. And when they come out of the 12 years of Bible school and tell them to lead one person to Christ, they said, I don't know how to do it. I told you the other day, there was a man, 12 years of Bible college, and he was in the merchant navy. And I met him in India. I said, sir, what you do? He said, I went to Bible college for 12 years. I didn't go to any church or be a pastor, so I joined in the merchant navy. So what do? Was having fun, smoking, drinking, womanizing, doing everything. I said, sir, why did you go to Bible school for 12 years? And I sat with him, and I talked to him, and I led him to Christ. And then he said, I'm going back to my church, and I'll write to you. I was in India. He wrote me a letter. Thank you, Pastor Peter, giving me advice, helping me to find God. Now I'm in a church and serving the Lord. What I'm trying to say, 12 years of knowledge was nothing. Nobody told that person what to do when you're studying and learning the Word of God. We have here application for the Bible school, and we tell them, what is your motive? Why do you want to be in a ministry? Are you born again? Write it down. How you got saved? Why you want to join in the ministry? What is your goal? Nobody asked to some people. They go and study, come back, and they don't find a job, and then they'll go and do something else. So here is saying, I'm thinking, let's go and talk to the great people who has the great knowledge, who has the wisdom and everything. But they went astray. They have no knowledge now. They become like a fools. And so the Word of God is saying, now what I'm going to do? I did everything, but now these people do not understand. Like you heard a few minutes ago, God has given us everything. There is not a single man can say, I didn't get anything from God. You know, there was a man walking on the street and saying, God did not give me anything. And he was cursing God and walking around and cursing God. I have nothing. I have nothing. God didn't give me anything. One rich man says, sir, come here. Do you have eyes? Say, yes. Can you see properly? Yes. Can you give me one of your eyes? And I'll give you $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. He started thinking. He said, think about it and then give it to me, your eyes. And if you want another eyes, I'll take the another eye also. I'll give you millions of dollars. He started thinking. One eye, 50,000. Another eye might be 50 more thousand. Oh, $100,000. And how about hand? And how about another hand? And how about my heart? And he started calculating. He said, no, sir. I'm not selling my eyes. So what happened? God has given me everything, but I'm not using it. In an American language, there is a saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. That's what your message you heard. You have given something, you don't use it, you lose it. Nobody can blame. Other day, one lady called me and said, Pastor Peter, I do not understand this parable. That somebody has one, and Jesus says, take that one and give it to somebody who has more. I didn't understand. I said, you have to read the properly. This man, lazy, he took the handkerchief. Handkerchief is supposed to be wiping your sweat. He doesn't want to work, so take the handkerchief, put it under the ground and seal it. And he doesn't want to work. And when the master comes, he blames the master. You are the wicked person. You are the bad person. You don't know what you're doing. And so he said, okay, I judge you from your own mouth. And he took his talent and said, give it to somebody who has more. People do not like that. People saying, take it money from the rich and give it to the poor. And I already told you the example. Just think the one person is a billionaire. And somebody says, you are a billionaire, we want you to give the billion people dollar each. He gave the billion people $1 each. How many dollars he got? $0. Now the billion people have $1 each. What they get? They cannot get a cigarette pack for that dollar. They can get a maybe soda, one can of soda, and they drink it. What will happen to everyone got a dollar? Can they have a building? Can they buy a house? Can they develop the business? No. So what I'm trying to say, if the person has $1 billion, don't take it from him. He has wisdom to make that kind of money. He worked hard for that money. So that person should do businesses, make factories, and many people will work under him. Today, people are jealous for the rich people. I tell you, if all the rich people in the world, they have factories and businesses and things like that, we quit. We are not going to do any businesses. We are close our factories. We have enough money for surviving for 100 years. Why should we work? We have enough. What will happen? Whole world will collapse. They already made the movie. There are a couple of movies. All the rich people say we are not going to do any business. Everything will collapse. So don't be jealous when somebody has it and take it from him and give it to me. What the Bible saying? Bible says gospel supposed to be preached to whom? Poor. Now somebody says gospel supposed to be preached to poor, so don't preach to rich. It's not like that. It says when you're preaching to poor people, and what will happen, they will come and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that God will supply all their needs, and they will be prosperous. Just like if somebody's asking, give me fish, and you keep on giving fish every day, and he will be wearing you out. What you do? Take him to the lake. Teach him how to fish, and he will be able to feed his family. So it sounds good, take it from the rich, but I tell you, Bible teaches you, if you cannot work, you should not eat. That's the Bible teaches. So the people taking the Bible scriptures and twisting whatever they want. Bible teaches God has given us wisdom. God has given us everything. Like I said, the man said God didn't give anything. Finally, he figured it out. God gave me everything. Every organ you have, they are billion and trillion dollars worth. What China is doing, they take the prisoners, kill them, and sell their organs. That's why they are billionaires. Lots of money China has. Where the money coming? Selling somebody's organs. The point I'm making, God has given us everything. Be thankful to God. Thank God in America we have high school education free. And someday they will be college education free. And there are some people are saying, if you go to high school and be excellent student, we'll give you 4 years scholarship. My grandson got it. My son got it. The point I'm making, be smart. Work hard. And you will get a scholarship. There is a one lady came to our church and she said, my daughter is math and English and this and that. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for her. I laid hand and prayed and I said, Lord, give her a good knowledge and let her have the scholarship for life. And she got it. She got the scholarship for life. And so point I'm making, God supplies our need. But we have to be faithful to God. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 6.
Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased.
What God is saying, I am tired of these people. Now what I'm going to say, some lions, some wolves, and some leopards. And let them come and destroy them. Do you know in America and all over the world, people love animals more than people? They call animal lovers. Other day, one truck was taking a fish, and the truck broke down, And those animal lovers came and said, you killed all these fish. So now we have to make a monument here. Fish were killed in this place. Can you imagine we are living in a foolish world? In one village in India, they have more dogs than people. Somebody say, how come? Each family have one dog, and dog multiplies. And so they have millions of dogs. And that's why the poverty is all about. And then people are saying, we want animal. Here is an example. If you love the animals, if you keep the snake and give the milk, snake doesn't know who your master is. Sometimes dog does. But if you keep the dog hungry for a long time, he can eat your baby. So the dogs and all the animals, you are pampering them. One day they will be a vicious animal. They can kill you. People ate their own children, even though they have knowledge, this is my baby. What the dogs will do, what the lions will do, what the animals will do, they will destroy you. Each and every animal knows God's voice. God says, even the donkey listens to me, but my people do not understand. You remember, Peter says, we want to pay taxes. He said, okay, go and find a fish. God has to tell the fish, go and put that, take the coin, somebody lost it in the ocean, take that and give it to Peter. Fish listens. Peter says, we didn't catch anything. He said, okay, go a little bit deeper. And got all the fish, their nets start breaking. How come? God told those fishes, go. And so here the word of God is saying, I'm going to tell these animals to come and destroy you. Let's go to the 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 25. This actually happened.
And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them.
See, when you don't fear God, when you don't listen to God, you go according to your will, he said, real lions. He sent it to the city, and the lion killed those people. Now, 2 Kings, chapter 2, you know this story. Elisha was just coming. Elijah already went to heaven, and he's just walking, and there's some young people coming. Hey, bald-headed man, why don't you go up just like Elijah went? Why are you coming here? And they start saying, bald-headed man, bald-headed man. Now, in some Bibles, we'll say young children. But this is not young children. They are maybe 19, 20, 16 years old boys. They are like a troublemakers. They wanted to kill Elisha. Maybe you want to throw a stone or say, hey, bald-headed man, go up. We don't need you here. See what happened.
And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head.
Now, this is little children. They are not little, okay? They are big boys, like teenagers, okay?
And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and Terah, 42 children of them.
Can you imagine? There was not a one or two boys. 40 children, youngsters, going after Elijah to kill him or destroy him. He said, Lord, you take care of these people. I cannot handle them. What kind of bear came? She bears. That means they just gave the birth to the babies, and they thought, these 40 boys are coming to steal our babies. Let's go and kill them. And that's what happens. So here he's saying, you don't listen to me. You don't worship me. You're going astray. You're after another gods. Now this is not the bear only. I'm going to send the lions, the wolf, and the, leopards. They are all vicious animals. God can tell them, go and do it. They will listen to God. We don't listen to God. Animal, they listen to God. Fish listen to God. Bear listen to God. Lion listens to God. They are vicious. Okay, let's go back to the Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 7.
How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery, and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses.
See what he's trying to say? How can I forgive these people? How can I pardon these people? What they're doing, when I give them the food, they're full, their stomach is full. Now, nothing to do. So what they do? Yes, you see people, they eat, they drink, they liquor, and they go out looking for trouble. So he said, I gave them the food, and they ate full stomach, and now they are going, where are they going? Telephone, and they text, and tell, hey, let's make a trouble in Central City. Yeah. Within a 1 hour, you got 200, 300 children. Not children, teenagers. Make trouble. So here he's saying, I give them the full stomach full, and what they're doing? Now their belly is full, now they are going to the harlot house. Prostitute center. And they're going, not one person, filling the whole house. And so what they're doing when you have stomach full food, what you should be doing? Thanking God. Thank you, Jesus. There are people going hungry every day. You gave me the food. Thank you. Many people pray for their food. Many means some Christians. But I tell people, don't only pray for the food. Pray and thank God after the food. You know why? There are some people choke and die before they can eat. They can gobble the food so good and they big chunk of the steak and swallowed it so fast and choke and die. They could not finish the food. So I tell people, I do myself, for the food, I say, thank you, Jesus, sanctify this food and make it so precious and so good so no sickness, no disease can come to me. Because the word of God says prayer will sanctify. And then I say, Lord, there are poor people, hungry, dying every day. Feed them also. And then I eat. And after I finish my food, I say, thank you, Jesus. I'm satisfied. Thank you for giving me food to enjoy. Whatever the strength comes, let it be used for your glory. So here he's saying their stomach is full and they're going to the prostitute. How can I forgive these people? How can I pardon these people? They are not thankful. They are not grateful. And they are doing wrong thing. Read the verse 8.
They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife.
It's another example he's giving. They are like a horses. Do you know keeping horse is very expensive? Just like keeping elephant is very expensive. When you keep a horse, horse eats a lot. People say, you're eating like a horse. That means horse need a lot of food. And he says, early in the morning, the master of the horse comes and feeds him. And the horse is stomach full. And then what the, we set him loose. Then he will make us some very noise. And what are you going? Calling for mate? Hey, I'm ready. Come on. And so that's the way they said their stomach is full. And they ate good like a horse. And now what they're looking for somebody's wife. What does it mean? They are not satisfied with their wife. In our language, it says, ghar ki murgi dal barabar. You didn't understand. It says, if you have a chicken curry cooked in your house, he said, that doesn't taste good. That tastes like a lentil curry. Mean because your wife cooked it, it's not tasty. Let me go to the hotel. Let me go somewhere. They can give you dog food in the hotel and the dim light. You cannot even see what you're eating. And you say, wow, how much? A $50 plate. You give the money and come home. I ate in the restaurant. You don't know what you ate. If you eat there for 1 week or 2 weeks, you will be dead. Actually, some restaurants are not giving you right kind of food. Here now we have inspector. In our church, there are some inspectors. They go and check their food and tell them if this food is properly cooked. So what I'm trying to say, God says, I give him a good food, but you like the horse running after the wild other horses. And you going after another woman. You are not satisfied with your own wife. If the righteous man can have a dry bread and a glass of water, be thankful. But if your enemy calls you and gives you feast, put the knife to your throat. I don't go to parties. Because in India, there are pastors. They go to every house and they got tea and a coffee and a tea and a coffee. And they cannot say no. If you say no, you drank in their house and we are not good enough like them. Okay, I'll drink yours too. What happened? They got a diabetes, a big belly, and they die soon. So the word of God is saying, whatever God gives, be thankful. I'm not looking at neighbor's house. Oh, they got a lamb curry today. I don't have it. Let's knock their door. No, I'm thankful what God has given. He said, these people are like a horse. Eat something good and go after somebody's wife. Okay, let's read verse 9. We are running out of time.
Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?
God is visiting. It's good. It's not good visit. If somebody says, let your daddy come tonight. What does that mean? When daddy comes, I'll tell him something, he'll beat you up. So the son said, mommy, I want to sleep early today. I don't want to see daddy. So that's why he said, that daddy comes. He said, I'm going to visit you, and I'm going to punish you. Okay, verse 10.
Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine.
Now he says, you know what? I want you to go and destroy these people, but don't destroy them completely. He said, God still loves people. He said, okay, someday they will come to me. But he says, these people are not listening. They are not coming to me. And they are all doing evil things. Still, he said, don't make end of these people. The word of God says, in the last days, the remnant will be saved. Some Israeli people, today, they are walking like a fool. Their eyes are bloody, ears are dull. And they are doing a Passover feast every year. Ask them someday. You are doing the Passover feast. Where is the blood? They don't have a blood. So what the Passover feast without the blood? The bloodshed stopped the day Jesus died. The curtain was torn from top to bottom. And they don't even know it. And they are doing traditionally, but they are doing wrong. We have to ask them. So the word of God says, I'm not going to make end, but I'm going to destroy them. Verse 13.
And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them.
The prophet will be wind. What does it mean? Some people saying it's just the air. Somebody talks something and doesn't mean anything. He said this is just the air. He's just saying something but doesn't mean anything. And so he said the prophet, they are preaching, they are telling something, but they just like a hot air or just the wind doesn't mean anything what they're saying because they don't know what they're saying. One person came to me, he said, I can preach anything. I said, did you go to Bible school? No. Are you Christian? No. What are you? I'm Hindu. But I can preach anything. Give me a Bible. I said, sir, are you really a preacher? You can see it. I gave him the book of Revelation. I said, go and read it. He could not understand a word. I said, sir, you said you can preach anything. You need the knowledge of the word of God. You cannot just say I can preach and just go to the library and get some books and start preaching. The preaching has to come from the word of God. It has to come from your heart, not like from your mouth. He says they are preaching, but they're just like a wind. Let's verse 14.
Wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them.
Now he says, this is good for the enemy. When you speak the word, your enemy will be like a wood. And when you preach, it will like a fire coming from your mouth, and they will be burned to ashes. So we don't have to worry about enemies. God can put the word of God in our mouth like a fire. Some other preachers, they're preaching like a wind, nothing. But your word can be fire, like a hammer, like a sword. And the word can do some great things, change the hearts of the people. Okay, verse 15.
Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver is as an open sepulchre. They are all mighty men. And they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities, wherein thou trustedst with the sword.
Now he's saying, I'm going to send some nations to you. Most of the people say, okay, the nations he's talking about are Russian. But today, if you go to Israeli place, there are 25% Russian people, and they are Christian. And so now the Israeli people knows Russian language. That language is not strange to them if Russia comes, because 25% Russians. Now he says this is a nation, is the, what do you call, the old nation. Now when you talk about other nations, everybody says Chinese is the ancient people. They have the 5,000, 6,000 years calendar and things like that. So they are very ancient. So he said their language is different. They you don't understand them. And when they come, they will destroy everything. Do you know in China, they can eat anything you see it with your eyes? Everything. I don't know they eat people, but they eat everything you can see. They can eat cat, they can eat dog, they can eat all kinds of creeping things, even snake and everything. And so why are they eating all of these things? Because more population, less food. So he said, okay, I'm going to bring those people. And they will come, and they are vicious people. He gave the example of like taking the arrow. But he says they have vast storage of ammunition. They have so many, what do you call, destructive things, bombs and atom bombs and small bombs and little bombs and hand bomb and everything. So they will come and they will eat your food. They will eat your harvest. They can eat everything what you have. Everything what you planted and you have plenty, they are going to finish everything. And they are going to destroy everything. But I'm not going to allow them to make an end. Read the verse 18.
Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you.
Still God says, all this enemy will come, but I will not allow them to destroy you fully. Verse 19.
And it shall come to pass, when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree? They cannot pass it. And though the waves therefore toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it.
Now he's giving an example. He said, why don't you understand me? Why don't you fear me? Do you know who I am? Look at the sea. 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, they didn't know the boundary of seas. They didn't know how deep the sea was. But now God is saying, do you know who created the sea? I created the sea. And I put the boundaries for them. I put the sand in the seashore. So the sea comes roaring, but he cannot pass the boundary. So who does that? God has control over these, all the roaring sea. Why don't you understand who I am? Why don't you fear me? There are people in India, they worship the sea, they worship the river, because they didn't know how deep this ocean was. But now we know. So here the word of God is saying, why don't you be afraid? Why don't you fear me? I am a God who made the sea. Roaring comes, destroyed everything in his path. But I put the boundary. Now what the people are doing? They're going and taking the sand from the seashore. And they're cutting their boundary and go a little bit further and further and further, closer to the sea. What happened? When the hurricane comes, all the things were destroyed. Put the boundary there. You stay away from it. But the people are not listening. Okay, verse 23.
But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their hearts, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest.
Now what he's trying to say, he gave the example of sea. Now he's giving example of rain. He said, who sent the rain? The rain comes first, and the latter rain comes, and then he waits, and then he gives the rain, and the crop comes, and you got the harvest. In America, we have irrigation system and everything we have. And once in a while, the rain doesn't come, and the people in America say, oh, we have drought. You cannot make a rain. You can make little snow here and little snow there. You cannot make a rain and you cannot make a snow. If it's 120 degrees, you start making a snow, it will keep on melting and you would not be able to do it. So he said, God does all these things, created sea, created rain and everything, but you are not thankful to God. You are not listening to God. Okay, verse 25.
Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you.
Why these problems are happening? Because of your sin. Rain stops, crop stops, blessing stops, all kinds of disaster comes. Why? You're not checking your Lord. Did I do anything? Did I go to church? Did I give my tithes and offering? Did I worship you? Did I read the Bible? No. Then all the disaster comes. Word of God says, why don't you know what you're doing? Okay. Read verse 26.
For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge.
See what's happening. He says, my people, they are so wicked. They are doing all these things. I thought thinking they're catching the men. I thought, Jesus Christ said, you are fishermen, but I'll let you catch men. This is not the soul winning. This is the people kidnapping people for the money. And say these people are kidnapping people and taking the money, taking the bribery, doing all kinds of wrong things. Do you know the drug dealers are the richest people? And the people who kidnap somebody, they don't charge you $1 or $2. They say, give me $5 million. They have to catch somebody, a president's son or governor's son, a billionaire's son or daughter. And so they can get millions and billions of dollars doing nothing. This is not one person. They are catching them like a house full of people and making a lot of money. And they are doing everything wrong. They are not helping anybody. They are not helping poor. They are not helping needy. They are not doing righteous judgment, and that's why all the hell becomes loose on these people. Okay, verse 29.
Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?
Again he says, shall I not visit? It's not a good visit. Jesus Christ is coming. He is not coming again to save the sinners. He's coming to judge the sinners. One day he was the Savior. Now he's coming as a judge. And as somebody says, oh, he's a good Savior, so he will let me go. No. Our God is a love. And what? Our God is a consuming fire. One day he was a Savior. Now he's coming as a judge. So that visit will be very great. People will be running for their lives. Say, oh, mountain, hide us. Stone, fall on us. Kill us. I don't want to see him. But for us, we are happy. We are looking for Jesus to come. So we will be go with him, and the tribulation will start. So we should be waiting for Jesus Christ, but the other people are scared for Jesus Christ. Okay, verse, last verses.
A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?
See, if the prophets are not preaching the right words, the preacher are not doing the right thing, and the people are, the citizens are doing the wrong thing, what we read here, going after another wife, selling the people, making the money, destroying the people, not thinking about the widows, not thinking about the poor and needy, and they doing and getting rich, those all wicked people will be destroyed. Jesus Christ says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. He says, revenge is mine. Give the revenge to God. Don't go and take revenge. God knows how to save his people and how to destroy the enemies. Let's thank God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us warning after warning after warning. Give us grace to straighten out our life. Call upon Jesus. Say, Lord, please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Lord Jesus, here I am. I want to love you, follow you, and I want to do your will. Give me your grace. Protect me from all the dangers and harms. And I want to preach the glorious gospel. There are people dying without God and without Christ. Give me grace to reach to those people. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.